back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are feeling the signs of spring. Baseball is in the air. No NFL scheduled just yet, but we will have an NFL draft, and I'm sure it'll be an understated event next Thursday. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all week long here. Two events this week, starting Friday. G&A Coney Island Hot Dog with my pal Andy from Baltimore with Love will be there Friday, 2 to 5. Also, next Wednesday, up at Conrad's Crabs in Perry Hall. I'm going to figure out where the dividing line between Perry Hall and White Marsh is and Nottingham, Fullerton. I've been trying to figure this out with lots of folks. This guy is over the other side of town. He's over doing things at Coons Baltimore Ford over Security Boulevard. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 and trying to figure all this stuff out. I feel naked without a schedule going into the end of April here. I don't know when we have a Jets bus trip or a Giants bus trip. I don't know what's going on, but they're going to push this schedule off another month, aren't they?
They sure are. So for us, like to get our year, our calendar, at least I'm the kind of person who likes to work my year backwards, right? From December to November, backwards. That way I know what I'm doing. You can plan, your tickets are cheaper, you can set your hotel schedule, and for sure I want to go down and take in the Tampa Bay game, watch Tom Brady, what may be his last season, right? But it would be nice to have the schedule at this point, Nestor.
Yeah, and this is the league doing league things, and I think it's a lot more complicated with 17 and the extra week and all of the television obligations they have and the international games that they have and all of that, but I will say this, with the Orioles being a little bit more backseat in my life at this point and just things in my life moving on and changing, even as it regards to the Ravens and how I'm treated by them, we find different things to do, right? Like my wife and I have been taking walks in the woods. We had a wild turkey out in our neighborhood the other day.
Oh, they're wonderful.
We're seeing cardinals. We're seeing blue jays who are squawky creatures and eagles and hawks and stuff and raccoons. And I know you've been at the zoo. I feel like I've got a zoo, the new place I live. We're back out in the woods where we are.
You are. At my old house, I had a turkey in the backyard with her baby. So I saw a baby turkey being raised, a wild turkey, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, over the weekend, we took in the Smithsonian Washington National Zoo, which was a lot of fun. We went there after our Palm Sunday, our Easter next week. We're one week behind this year. So we went there in the afternoon. It was wonderful. Lots of people were out and about. It's just a good way to spend an afternoon watching.
The panda's still there? Ling, ling, sing, sing?
The pandas were amazing. Yeah, they were just, it was like watching a pro wrestling match. The smaller panda was trying to body slam the bigger panda. It was, we watched them for a good hour. They're very interesting creatures. So the primates, you know, the gorillas, the monkeys, the tigers, the lions, just a lot of great things to take in.
I'm going to make an admission here. Are you ready for this?
Come on.
My wife, you know, she works on the other side of the building. So I've never taken her to the Washington Zoo. We've been by it many times. We've had a lot of meals out in the, you know, Southwest. If you come in on Connecticut or Wisconsin on the west side from Rockville and Silver Spring and all that. So I've spent more time in DC the last 10 years or 15 years than I did the first 40 years of my life, where I was always going into circles and being confused. Google Maps has made DC a lot better than trying to get to the Bayou back in 1990. I assure you, or get to Adams Morgan. But that is, there's just so many things, right? Like I did the recon last week with Don and we got into it about the Orioles. By the way, you want to listen to something make you chuckle. And I love Don. He's getting old and I got to give him a hard time. But he spent a half an hour not only convinced that opening day was sold out, but being pissed off at me that I hate the Orioles so much that I won't even admit a sellout when they really had one. I mean, like crazy stuff's been going on around here. But I would say this, I kind of got into this a little bit with Don about traveling and going places. We are so blessed to live in Baltimore.
Oh, absolutely.
Where you can get on a bus for $20 and go to New York and see John Mayer or see Billy Joel or even see Elton John. You could have gone up to Hershey and seen Elton John last week. He played up there. You have Washington where there's concerts. You get Atlantic City. You got the mountains, which I'm going to talk a lot about. I've been begging you to come fly fish with me in August on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Goodwill. About to sign a new sponsor here this week too. Actually two. So I'm going to have some new people to talk about, some windows and and beaches. But I would say this, the proximity to D.C. and New York, maybe not Philadelphia because they suck, the Flyers stink, but literally the Liberty Bell, the Rocky stuff,
absolutely,
all of the blessings we have here, and there's so many of them still unchecked off of our boxes, even after a plague and having money and not having money and having time and having health. My wife didn't have health. But like the fact that I haven't taken her to see the pandas at the Washington Zoo, shame on me. Shame on me.
Oh, you would have a lot of fun. She would have a lot of fun. It's just a great place to go. It was six of us. We parked right on the lot. It was $30 to park there for the whole vehicle. So it was very efficient. We went there early. It wasn't a big crowd. It was a perfect day to walk. And look, it's a nice time, a nice way to pass time. You get exercise. You walk everywhere. You're walking up hills, down hills. You're going up and down steps.
So I just want to, like, I don't want Kirby being mad at me over there, to Hutchinson. I don't want those guys because I love, you know, we'll get on to the, I've talked about the Penguins. I mean, my God, the Penguins were a centerpiece of my wife's relationship with the man who saved her life. But the Washington Zoo, like, you mentioned it to me and I'm thinking,
yeah,
I've driven by the Washington Zoo 25 times with my wife, and she's like, oh, there's the Washington Zoo. Maybe one day we'll go.
You gotta go. And the weekend before, I fished the upper Susquehanna in Pennsylvania, Duncannon, Pennsylvania. Met some nice folks up there. So you're right, Maryland is just a wonderful place. You can get to a lot of different areas, northeast, southwest of you, and spend some quality time with your friends and family. Just an amazing place to be at. Really is.
All right. Well, let's get on to sports here for a minute, because we could talk about the travel and the schedule and then the draft actually next week. And look, I'm going to be on your show this week, and I'm always a better guest than a host. I'm the host of this segment, but I like it better when you host and I get to be a blabbermouth. But the draft itself, and this has always been your centerpiece and the fun thing you do, and I've always kidded you about taking you to Indianapolis, and every year you turn me down, and every year Luke and I go out there and have a very, very mediocre time, and we've ceased that. But the draft now has become this larger-than-life thing. They're going to do it in Vegas this year. Is it Dallas next year? What did they announce? Detroit? What did they announce?
I don't recall top of my head, but it's getting bigger and brighter, and you know, more people involved nowadays. You have simulated mock drafts on your mobile device. So everybody's all of a sudden an expert. Many years ago, it was just Mel Kiper, right? And you got all your guides and whatnot. But nowadays, everybody's an expert nester, which for me and to me, it's kind of taken the fun out of it, right? Not when everybody's got an opinion versus a select few. And with these mock draft simulators, it's very easy for somebody to put together draft for. It's a very lazy take, very, very lazy way of going about it.
Well, I go back, and I had a great conversation with Joe Ortiz when I was over for the Liars luncheon a couple of weeks ago, just about the history of all of this and the accessibility of information for fans and the accessibility for an internet, somebody, something to talk about somebody's knee or somebody's past or somebody's ghost in their closets or somebody's 40 time or somebody had a teammate he didn't get along with, or somebody knew somebody's baby mama or somebody's agent or whatever it is. All of that cacophony and noise hasn't, at least in this organization, and I'll defend Eric and Joe and George and all the guys, Vince Newsom, all the guys they've had that have been there as long as they've been here, quite frankly, that I think it's easier for them than it is if you're the hotshot 38-year-old scout in some organization who hasn't been through this rodeo, that doesn't remember when there were our lads, Joel Buschbaum and Mel Kiper, right? And the part where the popular opinion about a player or something moves into a media direction, we've seen where politics can go, whether elections are rigged in this country, where if a TV network takes a stance or the wrong prognosticator has someone, and that player sits around forever or not. But these 32 teams have access and put an unbelievable amount of resources in human resources, capital resources, time resources to make sure that they don't draft the wrong guy. And yet somebody will step to the board next Thursday and take Johnny Manziel again, right?
That's what makes the draft intriguing, Nestor. We always talk about that's a stretch, that's a steal. Those are the common sexy terms that we often hear during the NFL draft process. But I think it's hysterical when fans and pundits try to try to predict what the Ravens are going to do when we all know that it's board dependent. It's the way the board falls to them. They have a history of drafting the best player available, and that strategy has certainly has helped them be at the top of the league year after year and stay consistent as a playoff contender.
Well, what do you need to see out of them next week? I mean, like, 2 weeks ago, we would have said, well, it would have been nice to get Campbell back, right? And you don't really want Brandon Williams, probably not even at a price. Maybe if they do, it means they really like him. You know, they've brought back, you know, Tony Jefferson, right? I mean, you know, yeah. they don't mind bringing back players if they – Josh Bynes. They believe in Josh Bynes, right? So – For this draft, to me, I think they walk to the podium at 14. And if one of their top eight guys are there, great, yeah. They'll take them. Whether that player is a right tackle project, a guard project, a center project, a defensive tackle project, a defensive end project, I guess they're not going to take a wide receiver because they've joked enough about, like, that's the one thing they won't do here. But if a corner falls to them, I don't think this is anything about pigeonholing any of these picks. And I think with the depth they have and the amount of picks they have in the top 120, which is really unprecedented. I mean, they have the ability to move up, move back. Hey, we're in the second round. You want 2 fours? We'll move up 20 spots and get a player we had in our top 15 that's sitting there at 38 or something. They're going to have the ability to really skate around the board, and they're really good at it, and they know they don't need all these players. I think my prediction will be a lot of activity. And I would say this, because you're our sponsor of the our tech service, and I was kidding Luke about, Luke, go to sleep. Nothing's going to happen for a couple weeks here before the draft. I have a feeling on draft night, the moving up and down that this organization has become a little bit more accustomed to, and I think not unafraid of pulling a trigger if they want a player of some kind and having the capital to do it. This is why Eric works so hard to pilfer seventh round picks out of the Vikings for kickers he has no use for.
Yeah, I think the intriguing part for me, Nestor, as a fan and as a pundit, is at 14, what if there are two or three players that they really like to have in the top eight, top 10? Let's say they have a cornerback, they have a left tackle, they have a defensive lineman, an edge rusher, and they're all sitting there. What do they do? People say, well, they'll trade back, but you also have to have a willing trade partner to do that. So they have to be prepared to turn in that draft card. So for me, that's the intriguing part of this draft, is at 14, which player do they actually come away with? And look, I like this kid, Jordan Davis, the defensive player of the year, defensive lineman from Georgia. He's a Calais Campbell clone to me. And you put those two monsters up the middle, I would think that they would wreak chaos with pressure up the middle, which would in turn make your edge rushers better. But that's my.
But do you need to get to 9 to get him, or will he be there at 18?
What I'm saying is he might be there at 14. So my thing is, it wouldn't shock me to see them take the 2021 Chuck Benarek Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, because that's what they do. They're going to take, if they have to make the pick, people have to understand this, they will turn in, whether it's, and they've done this in the past. Marlon Humphrey is the most recent example where we all scratch our head and say, why him? They're going to take the best player available on their board.
Well, that's why they put all these resources into it. You know, they found room for John Ogden, right, when they had Tony Jones, right? They find room for players.
Thank God, right, because we were all clamoring, myself included, for Lawrence Phillips. We all know how that turned out.
You know, it's fascinating to sit in front of Eric on Liars Luncheon Day and watch him in his mind. And I ask him tough questions, you know, about what they learn from failures, right? What they learn from Matt Elam, what they learn about Sergio Kindle, what they learn about Brashad Perryman. And, you know, maybe what they feel like they got right with Bateman, right? I mean, but I would say more than anything, they love team captains. They love guys that have beaten adversity. Seeing all of these one-year deals for every Deshaun Elliott and injured player, Tavon Young, all these players with ceiling and potential that they couldn't get them on the field, I think there's a real thing now, and I think this is Bishotti down, that kid's been injured sophomore year, injured senior. Let's get guys that have full tape, full bodies of work, that have made it through Big 10, Big 12, ACC, wherever you're drafting them from, that they have played football and that they haven't sustained injuries in the past. I think that as reticent as this organization was after Ray Rice to take on anyone with a, you know, as my old friend Ron Marcinak would say, a smudge, you know, be it a off the field issue. I think the medical issues now have become even more extreme, where I think a Pernell McPhee would probably have trouble getting drafted here when they knew his knees weren't going to be great. And he's held up a dozen years in a league, right? I mean, but guys who came in with the Miles Jacks, those kind of players that had smudges, the Ravens are going to stay away from them, especially on the back end of Ronnie Stanley, I think.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think they're, we've always said this, that the best ability is availability no matter the organization. So I think the Ravens are also following suit with that. They're paying closer attention to players' medicals. Has he been available? Has he played a string of games? Has he played several seasons together? Has he stacked them on where he's actually been on the field and been productive versus the guys that have, to your point, have gotten some smudges on them, right? Some nicks. There's plenty of players there that if you have two of equal value caliber, you're going to take the healthier player, or perhaps if he's just a notch lower, you're going to take him, you're going to take a shot on him versus the player that has been injured.
Dennis Colatzos is our guest. He's, of course, over at Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard, sponsoring not only our tech service. If you're on that, it'll be quite active next week at some point. The Orioles out on the West Coast here this week. We're getting ready for the draft next week. No schedule this week, so freeze everybody. We're not doing that until after the draft, but it's going to be a good week and a half leading up. Certainly a lot of speculation, a lot of things going on. Dennis has been out not only at the zoo. We had a little fun with the zoo, and I'm getting a little travel in here. My wife and I are going to spend a little time with the man who saved her life. But the one thing that I haven't heard you talk much about in the winter, because I think, you know, I'm not much for the cold. You know what I mean? The Iditarod would be nice. I thought going to Antarctica and seeing penguins would be cool until Baldinger told me that it wouldn't be. But when spring springs, you get out and you do things. And there's a rumor that this is a true, this is a real picture. You know, what is this fish? Where are you at this point? And give me, you know, it's not a true fish story unless you're holding a fish, right?
Got to have proof. So again, we're on the Susquehanna River.
Okay.
And that fish is a smallmouth bass. That's a pretty girl. She's about 3.5 pounds. And we caught her on a plastic lure, drift fishing. So it was on a shallow bottom boat with Ken Penrod, a good friend of mine. A fisherman who has fished with presidents. George Bush was the latest president he's fished with. He's 80 years old and just had a grand time on the river with him.
Well, so I thought it was Potomac. That was last time. You do something different this time.
Yeah, this was a Susquehanna, and we have a Potomac trip planned again in the fall. So we're always back and forth with Ken, and we drop a line every chance we get, Nestor, that we like being on the water and like being outdoors. To your point, we see eagles. You see all kind of wildlife. And it's just a great, great way to not just to pass time, but to make good time with good friends.
Well, Dennis, I have been putting together, and you know, this is, you know, it's serious when I have the official sheet out for the Crab Cake Tour this summer. So this
good.
August, and I don't know if I've even told you this or not, or whether, because I've talked about it on the air once or twice, but it's my 31st anniversary coming up in December. So I'm doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days. And I've decided, because I might get thirsty on this trip, we're going to hit 31 breweries too. Now, I don't know how that works if I get a Coons vehicle or whatnot, or maybe have a driver through all this, but we are going to feature breweries. We're going to feature the crabs. We're going to go around. And this is the cool thing, because like I did stuff last year, like I fly fish with Dan Rodericks. He was my guide because his son, who is a guide, blew his ACL out. So he couldn't do it last year. So this year, his boy's going to be taking me out, and you couldn't go last year to fly fishing. And my childhood friend, Sam Tudor, who I went to second, third grade with, grew up on Winbrook Road over in Colgate, is an avid fisherman. He was begging me to go out and catch, what are those snakeheads? He wanted to catch a snakey because they battle, right? He said he wanted to take me out one morning. So this time around, we're doing all the things we didn't do last time. We're going to do all the things we loved last time. But the things that there's this carnival over on the Eastern Shore that happens every night at this firefighter hall in like Caroline County. And I wanted to do it, doing it this time. There's a fair in Denton. We're going to do that this time. I didn't make it the Rock Hall last time. So when I see you doing different places, but this is the part that I learned, And I did talk to my wife at length about this because we loved fly fishing. We had a great day. Now, we haven't gone out on a boat and done worms and, you know, done it or even out on one of the reservoirs, which you've been many times, or any of the ponds around here, even stock ponds. But we felt like golf later in life, probably not. Fishing later in life, probably. And living here, the one thing that I learned driving this state, so many places, so many people drop a lure or a rod and reel into the water. There's so much water in this state, so many places to get lost, so many coolers you can take with you with food, drink, music, headset, ball caps, suntan lotion, your animal, your dog with you. Like, families of all colors, creeds, everywhere, east to west, fly fishing, the water fishing, the sport fishing. I just wanted to bring that up because, like, I was blind to all of this, sitting at Orioles games in the press box and Mr. Angelo's. And so, you know, hey, nasty, how's it make you feel to get thrown out of the ballpark? You know what it makes me feel like doing this is what it makes me feel like doing, or going to the zoo and petting pandas.
Yeah, the nice thing is with Maryland, I mean, I have friends who they just exclusively go to the three big reservoirs, Lock Raven, Liberty, and Pretty Boy.
That's and you never run out of spots there, right?
Never run out of spots.
You can fish 50 times a year, and you'd be good, and you never have to drive more than half an hour.
It's amazing. You can go up to Piney Run Reservoir or Lake Marburg in PA. You can kayak. I mean, there's so many things you can do. And again, you can exercise. You can get some vitamin D, right? You can get all the sun rays. And again, you can fellowship with your friends and family and create beautiful moments versus sitting at the park for several hours, and which is something I'm not prone to do these days. I'd rather be out. You know, I'd rather be out with the family doing something active versus sitting there watching the boob tube.
Come on, Dennis. Give me an O.
Ew.
tell them what you're doing over there, Coons Baltimore Ford. I know vehicle shortage and all that. We talked about my wife ordering a vehicle online and not. And I'm not even kidding you about August. I mean, I'm going out. You threw me in that vehicle last year, made me feel like a superstar everywhere I went. Girls were waving to me. Boys, I felt like John Mayer. Everybody was waving to me. You know what I mean?
I'm driving around a yellow one. So that way you talk about getting attention. It's definitely.
What if we wrap the yellow one with some state flag stuff, right? And I take it around the whole month in the state of Maryland, everywhere, and put the Coons Band. What do you think?
That sounds like a plan to me. Sounds like a great plan.
I got a sponsorship idea. And for you, my friend, no upcharge for you.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. No, business is real good. Again, my recommendation is if you're going to be in the market anytime soon, just go ahead and order the vehicle of your choice, and you may get it a year or two from now. It's getting that serious that some vehicles are 2 years out because of the shortage. It's just not the chip shortage, Nestor. They have other components that they're missing nowadays too. China's locked down a lot of people. They shut down a couple of plants that distribute components to the U.S. manufacturer. So this thing is getting worse. It's not getting any better.
Dennis Colatzos joining us here with the realities of the vehicle market. He's over Coons Baltimore Ford. It will be very active on the text service, I promise you, when Luke gets it going here once we get into draft time this time next week. I will be on Dennis's show between 3 and 5 on Thursday, and again heard on Sunday morning as our Sunday sports voice continues and the tradition continues around here. I am Nestor. He is Dennis. We're going to be taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road, presented by the Maryland Lottery, by our friends at Goodwill Industries, and two sponsors to be named later. I got sandwich picks, on the reserve squad. Fishing, zooing, sporting. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking draft in Baltimore positive.